yesterday, and so I asked him to take about 10 or 15 minutes and kind of maybe give us some information for us on what's going on. He's a missionary to the state capitol, and he has an office there at Frankfort, and we appreciate what he does up there. And so if you had never met him, we're going to ask him to come right now, if he would, please. And he has also a radio program comes on. He can tell you about that. It's Saturday afternoons, and you might want to tune in and listen to it. It'll give you a lot of information.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Pastor. I sure appreciate that. Well, again, I'm Brother Lee Watts. A good way to remember me is I'm Brother Watts' his name. So that's a good way to remember. And yes, the radio program is over on, I believe it's the King of Kings,
yeah,
network here. It's called Take America Back.
Right.
It's once a week, 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. And we give you the news from a Christian perspective,
yeah,
and then what you can do about it. I hope that you just don't do like most Christians. So they come into church and they get all fired up about the issues of the day. But most people, all they do is complain to,
yes,
somebody who,
right,
already feels the way that you do.
Yeah.
And that's all they do.
Yeah.
We've got to go out and take action on what we've learned.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope you will do that. Let me tell you a little bit about some of the things going on in the Capitol. Tomorrow, anybody who happens to be able to get off work tomorrow, I invite you to come up near the Moorhead area in Ashland. You've probably heard about these different Supreme County clerks,
right,
who are being sued because they won't issue homosexual marriage licenses.
Right.
Well, the one over in Rowan County, which is up near the Moorhead area, is going to court tomorrow, being sued by the ACLU. And so the court case is scheduled for noon. So we're going to meet about 11:30. That'll be Eastern time. So it'll be 12:30 for you guys. And we're going to have a prayer meeting with the county clerk and make a strong stand for biblical marriage. So I'm trying to get everybody I can in the state up there because the cameras and the stuff will be there, and we need to have our side set. The Lord has blessed us. The judge assigned to the case is Judge Bunning. He's a Catholic fellow, but he's come out in the past very strong for life and for marriage. So we may get actually something to go right, believe it or not. Even if you cannot make it tomorrow to be a part of that prayer service, then the court case would be at 1 o'clock your time.
Mm-hmm.
I would encourage you and ask you and plead with you, please stop at 1 o'clock,
right,
and say a prayer.
Amen.
For the battle that is going on for somebody who is willing to risk their,
that's
job,
right,
risk their life savings and possible imprisonment to stand on biblical principles.
That's right.
Because the time that decision is going to face each and every one of us just got a whole lot closer. And let us be willing to stand. I don't ask for persecution. That's silly. But we should be willing to endure it. But don't pray for it. I remember when I was a little kid, my brother got out of going to school because he got chicken pox. He had like 5 spots on his body. So I prayed, Lord, will you give me chicken pox? I was in the hospital. I couldn't even write him so bad. So don't pray for it. But just be willing, Lord, if it comes, help me to endure. Let me also encourage you to make sure that you are registered to vote. If you are not registered to vote, I have voter registration forms in my car right now, and I'll give some to you. We just had the primary here, 2 months ago. And the guy who won and lost was a difference of 83 votes. We have 120 counties, which means that's an average of less than one person per county. Might have changed that whole thing. So I encourage you, make sure you get out there and vote, especially these state elections.
Mm-hmm.
And Kentucky is only one of 3 states this year that is electing a governor. And you've got one guy who is as far left as you can get, and you got the other guy who's pretty conservative. He's not perfect, but he's a pretty conservative fellow on all the important issues. And we had some tough choices to make in the primary. In the general election, it's night and day. One guy's for life, one guy's for abortion. One guy's for biblical marriage, the other guy's for sodomite marriage. And what you just name it, is night and day. So get out there, vote early, and if you're from Florida, vote 2 or 3 times. All right? Because that's what they do over there.
105%.
In the Kentucky State Capitol, we also have a statue of Jefferson Davis. And, of course, there's all this rigmarole going on about, well, anything Confederate, they want to remove all the signs of that. Kentucky has decided not to remove it, but to put up for a vote of the people. So you can send in what you want done with the thing. And then you can send it in until July the 29th. And I'm going to give you an email address that you can send it to if you haven't done it yet. And let your piece be said. The email address is for the guy who's in charge of the Division of Historic Properties. And the Capitol building belongs to that division. You will email david.buchta, and that is B-U-C-H-T-A, B-U-C-H-T-A, david.buchta at ky.gov. And you send in your 2 cents worth, and it takes things until July the 29th, and then they have a meeting the first week of next month, and they will decide what they're going to do with that statue. I never was really into Civil War history until recently, and if they decide to take it out, okay, fine. Maybe they should put in a statue of General Lee in his place. I'm becoming more and more interested in that. And I want to leave you with a verse of Scripture, which is kind of my theme verse for the ministry that goes on there in the Capitol. And don't get me wrong, not everybody in the Capitol is a dirty skunk. We have our fair share, but there's a few of them who are actually Christians. And they are going to be the first ones on the firing line come January when the session gets back in. So I encourage you to pray for those. And the same verse for our ministry is 2 Corinthians chapter number 3 and verse number 17, which says, where the Spirit of the Lord is,
yeah,
there is liberty.
Amen.
The more you take the Lord out of America,
right,
the less liberty that we seem to have.
It's true.
So I ask for your prayers. We do a lot of things up there in the Capitol building. As a missionary, I pass out King James Bibles, because otherwise it's not a Bible. I believe. Amen. You know, I always get an amen.
That's out of circle.
I lead a Bible study every week for the senators and representatives. When I started 6 years ago, we had about 3 show up. This year, we've had about anywhere from 35 to 40 show up every week.
Amen.
So the Lord's been blessing us each election cycle, sending us some Christian legislators. Praise the Lord for that. It is said that if America is a body, Kentucky is its heart. Let's do what we can to turn the heart back to God. Because here, I think the way that Kentucky votes this year, coming up in November, will be the way America votes in the national elections next year. Are we going to continue to run down the path we are on, or are we going to go back to the way it was and restore? Let's lead the nation in saying, let's restore back biblical principles. Because the Constitution and the country was founded on this book.
That's right.
Over and over again. And if you want, I can talk to you for about 4 hours on that topic. Whoa, wow, I like that. So anyway, we covered your prayers. If you got any questions about things going on in Frankfort, different laws, or if your politician's a good guy or a dirty skunk, just tell me who your guy is, and I'll stay around after service. Be happy to talk to you about that. And if you can make it up tomorrow near the Moorhead area, we'd sure love to have some more Christians there. And thank you, Pastor, for your time.
Amen.
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 Thank you, Brother Watts. You sure listen to his radio program. It's King of Kings on Saturday. What time is that, brothers? I know it's in the evening. About 6, ain't it?
I think it's 6:30.
Yeah. Okay. He's a Christian, Bill O'Reilly. The spin stops there on my radio program. It's good, sure enough. It's good. You like it. All right. Sister Marla's going to sing for us, and then we're going to have some preaching. And we're going to ask her to come do a special tonight. She had on her heart, and she pray for her.
I'll just pray for me as I sing this. Like Brother Rick said, this has been on my heart. With all the things going on in our nation, we certainly need prayer.
Bless you, Lord.
Pray for me. they would renounce the name of Christ. And one by one, they chose to die. The Son of God they would not deny. Like a great angelic choir sings, I can almost hear their voices ring. I pledge allegiance to the with all my strength, with all I am, I will seek to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance to the land. Now the years have come and the years have gone, but the cause of Jesus still goes on. To reject the world, to embrace the cross. One by one, let us live our lives for the one who died to give us life. Till the trumpet sounds on that final day, let us pray.
Tonight, he's going to come and preach for us, and pray the Lord give him good liberty and And we certainly want him to enjoy himself tonight. Come on, brother.
Bless him, Lord.
Rick, I always am, though.
Bless him.
I reckon if I ever get to where I ain't nervous, I'm going to quit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bless him.
Yeah.
Well, be all right. Can I put it in my pocket?
Mm-hmm.
Will it work?
Yeah, it's fine, brother.
All right. I'll say this, that there's been a lot of good men preached here. I've been here at some meetings. There's been a lot of good men of God that stood here and preached.
Yeah.
I'll say that.
Yeah.
Shut your ears, Rick. I got to have a Rick, of course, y'all know your pastor ain't no flap. He's a fine preacher, a fine man of God. I say this, that he ain't afraid to preach.
Sure.
Yeah.
I like that, don't you?
Yeah.
This day and time, there's a lot of them, I believe, he's afraid to preach.
Yeah. Right.
Huh?
Yeah.
Hebrews chapter 2, take us to a verse here, and maybe we'll preach it a while. Now let's talk. Forgive me. Pray for me. I've never actually preached this text before, but I hope it'll be a help to you. Hebrews chapter 2, you have your Bible, stand if you want to. The Bible says, therefore, we ought to give a more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by him that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to you again, Lord, I truly feel weak. And Father, I feel awful dependent on you, and I am, Lord. Father, I pray, God, that you would give me the anointing and the undergirding, dear God, Lord, that it is necessary for a man to preach your word. Father, I pray, Lord, that it would go out, Lord, with the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit of God, and not hide me behind the cross of Calvary. Lord, if there may be one here that's lost or somebody needs some help from you, Lord, I pray, God, that they would get that from you, Lord. And we'll thank you for that. Lord, again, hide us behind the cross, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Verse 1 says here that we ought to give a more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time that we should let them slip. I got to thinking about slipping here. You know, sometimes things just slip your mind. I've had important things to do, Brother Prophet, the other morning, and I've worked for myself, built houses, and sometimes, I'll be honest with you, I get 19 things on my mind at one time, and a phone ringing off the hook, and I'll be honest with you, sometimes I let things slip my mind. I tell somebody, look, the other morning, and I hate to tell you this, but I promised a woman I'd come look at her house, and these jacked up, and I told her, I said, I'll be there tomorrow evening if nothing happens. Well, something happened because I slipped down and forgot. And I got home and got my shoes off, and she called, and she said, hey, she said, are you going to look at my house or not? I said, I'll tell you what, I slipped and forgot. Mm-hmm. I slipped.
Yeah.
And I would say here that to slip here, you know, means to lose by negligence, if you will. And so, in other words, it's somehow or other that is my fault that I done that. In other words, I wasn't watching what I was doing, and I let something slip.
Amen.
Or then maybe it was the Bible has a definition of this thing here, and it says to pass over or to omit, that's to slip over the main points of a subject. And so, in other words, I could get part of it right, but I could miss part of it. You got me right there. I could let something slip by that's important.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
I know that the United States Supreme Court passed this sodomite law, and
And listen here, I don't mean to hurt anybody's feelings, but I want to tell you something. You don't have to be a preacher to jump on that bandwagon and talk about that for a while, and it's all right to cut on them if you want to, but I'm telling you, it's either liberal Democrats are cutting on it, so you know what? You ain't really done nothing.
Right.
You can talk about that all day long, and it won't accomplish the purpose of the gospel tonight. I'll say here, the first thing I'll say that we need to not do is let the gospel slip of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
You see, we can let that slip by. I mean, listen, it's all right to preach on long hair and mini skirts all day long, but it won't get you saved. You know, look here, it won't get you right with God tonight. That kind of preacher won't help you. It won't help you.
Amen.
There's a place for it, but it won't help you.
Right.
And I will say here that we don't need to let the gospel slip.
That's right.
Say, well, why? The Bible says over there, and Job said over there in the book of Job, he said, because their days are as a shadow.
Yeah.
We don't need to let the gospel slip.
Amen.
And because it's our days are as a weaver's shuttle, they go by awful quick. You know what? Look here. It don't seem like no time at all that I was just a little old boy going to church. You know what I mean? Look here. Wow. It don't seem like it's been that long, Brother Prophet, that I was just a little boy. What I'm telling you is that I'm an old man now. I'm gray-headed.
Bless you, Lord.
Because of that, we don't need to let it slip.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
And because of this, I'll give you this example. I'm going to go on. I'll tell you, Pastor, there yesterday I went to the hospital up there at Somerset. To a 14-year-old girl, raised in a bunch of rough family. They thought she had sinus trouble, but they took her to the hospital and run an X-ray on her, whatever it was. And they found a tumor in the back of her head, and they took it out. It was malignant, it's cancer. They took it out, and said they got it all. But it's a 90% chance that it's going to come back. But she's from a rough family. They don't go to church. Their family's lost. You understand what I mean? That's why we don't need to let the gospel of the Lord Jesus slip.
Amen.
But then I begin to think, why should we not let the gospel slip? Paul said over there, he said, woe unto me if I preach the gospel.
Amen.
That's right.
Paul never preached nothing but the cross in the Lord.
Amen.
Crucified tonight. He didn't preach on his own. He said, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel of the Lord Jesus.
That's right.
He said the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolish.
That's right, brother. Amen.
Do you know something? Tonight in this thing right here, this book right here, is foolishness to a lost world.
That's right.
You know, look here. Hey, they think we're idiots. They think we're ignorant because of this book, because of the fact that we believe that the Lord Jesus Christ can save souls.
Amen.
He's the only power that can save souls.
That's right, brother.
And so I begin to think here. Now why then? Why do we need the gospel? Why is it important to preach the gospel to a lost world? I can tell you why. Because the Bible says over in the book of Romans, he said over there, by one man has sin entered into the world.
Amen.
I can tell you why. Because there's no other way back to the Lord Jesus or to God but other than the gospel.
Amen.
I can tell you tonight for a fact that over there that because when God breathed into a man's nostrils the breath of life, he became a what? A living soul.
That's right. You're right.
You know something? Look here, I know we live, you know what, in Kentucky, Brother Watts, did you know that you can get 17 years for whooping your dog? If they catch you, they'll send you to penitentiary for whooping your dog. If they catch you doing it in public, and you know what they'll do, they'll pay you for doing an abortion. What I'm telling you for, it's a mixed up world. Well, listen to me. I'm just throwing it out there. Look, what I'm telling you for is this right here. Hey, because of that right there, we need the gospel of the Lord Jesus preached.
Amen.
Amen.
You're right.
See, what do you mean, preacher? Because I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
Because over there, back there in the Garden of Eden, or when God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul,
right.
He was made different than any other thing that's ever been made.
Amen.
You know what? It's hard for me to fathom sometimes that when I look at somebody that there's a soul there. It's hard for me to think sometimes because of the temporarity of our life here, Brother Prophet, that we've got a soul and that somewhere in eternity, unseen to me and you, our soul is going to live on for eternity.
There's
no end to that thing. You know what eternity is? It goes on and on and on and on and on. And when the clock strikes 1,000 years, you know what? It's just, there's nothing and it goes on and on and on. There's no end to eternity.
Amen.
You know, I'll give you this thought right here, and I'm going to go on. But you know what? I believe that we're already, if you will, that we're already in eternity. People say that you're going to go out into eternity. We're already in eternity. You know what your life is? Your life is but a moment. You've got a moment in your life. Look here. You say, preacher, I don't know about this. Look here. If 1,000 years is as a day, and a day is as 1,000 years to God, if your life lasted, if you live 100 years old, you ain't the blink of an eye. You ain't a second on the time clock of God. So then I would say here that you have been here, but in a moment's time, that in a moment's time, your whole life goes by you in a moment's time, if nothing else, and then you're already in eternity because of the fact of your soul.
Amen.
So then, Adam has sinned and transgressed God's law. And now he found himself there. You say, my friend, what is this right here? What is the fact of that? You know what I'm telling you? That is it all right if I could, look here, I ain't used to staying behind. But what I'm telling you for is this right here. Listen, do you know that sin, when it came in the world, we don't realize how repugnant really this sin is to God.
Right.
You know
right.
Something? Look here. He's holy and just. Look here, and he's righteous. And you know what? There's no sin about him, and there's nothing wrong about him. And he's right. He's separated from darkness by light. He is light. You know what I mean? There's no comparison. No, so I'm telling you that sin is so repugnant to God that what did he do? Look here. He had to turn his back on his only begotten son there and let him die because of that sin. Tonight, the sin is the worst. Look here, I can't describe the loathsomeness of sin to a holy and just God tonight.
Yeah. That's right, man, George.
True. Listen, do you know something? Do you realize what sin has done? For by one man, sin entered into the world.
Yeah.
And by that one man, then death was passed upon all. Can you think of all the things that sin has done to this world?
Mm.
Hey, that's awful, ain't it? Mm-hmm. You know, I told that young girl's mother and daddy, at the hospital yesterday. They said, we just don't understand how this could be that our daughter, here is 14-year-old, she's been such a good girl all her life. They never had her in the house of God. She don't know what a preacher looks like. She never hears a word hail said unless it's a cuss word. I'm telling you, but listen to me now. What I'm telling you for is this right here. They don't realize. I said, listen here. I said, I tell you why your daughter's in the shape she's in. I said, it's a three-letter word. I said, it's called sin. I said, it's a past moment. Her, I said, it's appointment her, and she's going to die because of this sin.
Yeah.
I said, listen to me, friend. I said, by that sin, Adam, she inherited it from you, and you inherited it from your daddy, and it was passed on and on and on. I said, the sin is what caused this.
When it's finished, brings forth death.
You know, I'm reminded there in the book of John over there, that pool of Bethesda, there the Lord Jesus, as he came in by the sheep gate there. You know, wasn't it fitting that the Lamb of God would come through the sheep gate there? Wasn't it fitting that the Lamb of God would come through that sheep gate there? And they'll come to that pool of Bethesda there, and then all those infant, the people there laying there. Can you imagine the stench there of that livestock? That was a livestock market. Hey, anybody else in the stockyard beside me? Hey, it stinks on it. I'm telling you tonight, can you imagine the horrible smell that was coming up from the holy, look here, he was the Son of God, but he was a God. Look here, he was hurt. Can you imagine the stench that came up in his nostrils right there? All this is called a sin.
Right.
Can you imagine that tonight? Every type of disease there could ever be named. You know what? Over and over again, when he called his disciples there in the book of Matthew there, the Bible says that he went up there and he came down, or the Bible says there, the multitudes came to him and healed all manners of disease. He named them all. I thought of the leprosy that he healed there.
Yeah.
You know what? Can you imagine, brother, prophet, leprosy? I've seen pictures of that stuff, ain't you?
Yes.
Can you imagine what leprosy does to a person? Their arms, their fingers start falling off, and their nose falls off, and they turn black, and they rot standing up. You know what I mean? And they go away to a little dead stump in there, and the odor of that rotten flesh. Can you imagine the putrid smell of that flesh? There ain't nothing that can come up with the smell of something dead. What I'm ready for, that is a picture of sin there. That's the loathsomeness of sin to holy and just God. Now, listen to me, I'm telling you something. But listen, and not all of that, my friend, but listen to me. Can you imagine that what God thought when he looked down at Adam right there? And he said, Adam, he said, where art thou? And look at, and this man that he had made, he gave him everything that he ever needed and provided for him. He said, look here, Adam, this is yours. You go for and replenish the earth and be subdued and bring it under your subjection. He gave it all to him. Can you imagine, brother, probably what it was like for him to look down at that man out there that he created and know he had sinned against him and the price that was going to bring on our world?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Amen, brother.
Oh, sin. seeing old Paul, he said, the old wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?
Yeah.
You know what I'm realizing? You know what? They said over one place I read about that, and they said that it was a form of punishment that a prisoner would be tied or chained to the body of a dead man over there. And he longs that dead man, he would rot. He would lay there and rot next to him. That picture of sin out there for Paul was chained to is what he was describing. He said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?
Yeah.
Paul.
Yep.
That's why you need the gospel.
Amen.
You see, a lost man tonight.
Bless him, Lord.
A lost man tonight, they don't realize.
No, I can't see it.
What a state they're in.
Right. To be born.
You want to destroy themselves. You know what? Listen to me tonight. You know what? I'll tell you something. God never intended for the things going on in our world that's going on.
That's right.
He never intended for the sin that's going on in America to go on.
That's right.
Right.
What do you mean? Listen to me tonight. I can't find a word to describe it. How it must look to a holy and a just God. But he said, I know that. He said that has come up before me. He said, look here, I'm going to destroy the world for this thing. Look here.
Amen.
He destroyed everything on the face of the earth because of sin.
Right. Corrupt inside.
Corrupt. Stench. What man needs a savior?
Yeah.
But then I thought, here for just a little bit, that we should never let slip.
Amen.
In the need of a world for the gospel.
Amen.
You know something tonight? Look here, that sodomite crowd up there in Frankfurt, they need the gospel.
That's right.
The drunkard crowd up there in Somerset,
Amen. They
need the gospel.
Amen.
That man and the little woman in jail, they need the gospel. These little kids right here,
Amen.
4 or 5 year olds, they need the gospel. Who needs the gospel? The whole world needs the gospel. He's just going to the world and preach the gospel.
Amen. Amen.
To every creature.
Right.
That's right.
You know what the charge of the world that the Lord gave the church when he left? He said, go into the world and preach the gospel.
That's right. All the world.
Preach the gospel.
Amen, Brother George.
He didn't say preach your ideas, preach your opinion, preach out of some other book. He said, preach the gospel.
Amen.
Ain't no other book but the gospel. Look here, ain't no other message but the gospel.
Amen.
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 See, preacher. But then I thought of this. Should never let slip the glorious good news of the gospel.
Woo!
Right.
Do you know that tonight?
Amen, brother.
Look here, I'm telling you something. The Bible says over the Lord Jesus that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners.
Amen.
Of whom I am. Do you know what? How was it? He said, great is the mystery of godliness over there. How the Christ was made manifest in the flesh and how he was, and I'm messing up the quotation over there, but look here, you go back over and read it for me. For you, if you want to, what I'm telling you is this right here. It's a mystery to the world tonight.
Yeah.
But it's good news, ain't it?
Yeah, it is, bro.
What is the gospel? You know, the gospel message is really pretty simple. There's been a lot of men that have tried to a lot better preachers than me, I'm sure. But they tried to add a little bit to it, make it sound a lot worse, better than it is. But what I'm telling you for now, you know what? I'm telling you, it ain't nothing but the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus.
Amen. According to the Scriptures.
Yep. According to the Scriptures. The Scriptures can't be broken. Mm-hmm. How it was. Remember over there when was Paul that reasoned with Felix over there? And he began to tell him that. He preached to him the gospel. He began to tell him how that sin, that all men are sinners in the world. Whether we like it or not, you know what? You are a sinner, I'm a sinner, and everybody in here is sinners. And how that we're condemned to die by the Bible. The Bible says in Romans over there in chapter 3 that we're all guilty before God.
Right.
And there's none of us righteous, no, not one. Look here. I'm telling you, and the wages of sin is death. I'm telling you that we're all under a death sentence tonight. None good.
I won't.
None good, Brother Prophet.
Right.
I know that in the world that we live in today, that you can knock on every door in Somerset up there, they come to the door with a joint in the hand, one hand and a beer in the other, And yes, and say, are you saved? No, yes, I'm saved.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me about when you got saved. And they got a testimony. Well, look here, my grandma was a deacon, or my grandpa was a this, or my grandpa was that. And look here, I'm telling you what, I asked a woman like that in the hospital up there. I said, tell me about when you got saved. Let her terminally ill with colon cancer. I said, tell me about when you got saved.
Hey,
she said, look here, she said, my daddy was a deacon. Look here, I don't care if your daddy was the president of the United States. If you let you without the gospel tonight, you'll die and go to hell tonight.
Amen.
That's good, brother.
That's right.
True.
Say, preacher, what is the gospel? Let me tell you, here simple, what the gospel is. How that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. Ain't you glad to know tonight that God, he said unto a word in the book of Isaiah chapter 7, he said that a virgin shall conceive and give birth. He said a word in the book of Isaiah chapter 9, he said a word that a son is given. Ain't you glad to know that a son was given? Or were that a simple man like me, how that I could be made right with God, because then he went to the cross of Calvary and my sin was placed upon him, and he died in my place. Not only did he die, but he was buried there. Look at those that preach it, tell me he wasn't really dead. Look here, he was dead as a mackerel. Look here, they took him down and wrapped him around in them dead clothes. And no dead body for him. Look here, and he buried him there and put a seal on it. And look here, and they said he's done, he's over with. But the third day he rose again according to the scripture. And you know what? Not only that, but he was seen of 500 and ain't you glad to know that he was buried over there and he rose again? Why? Because he was just to justify me. Look here, and I paid the price for this boy. And he can go free. Why? Because
praise the name for our justification. Amen.
Ain't you glad to know tonight that a holy and just God would love you enough?
Yes.
You know, when I was yet an enemy of him. Yes. Ain't you glad to know tonight that a holy and just God would send his only begotten Son to hold the Lamb of God that would take away the sins of the world? That would meet his requirements, not because all that blood. You want to listen? All that blood over in the book of Hebrews. Blood, blood, blood. Look here at the bloody book. You know what's a bloody book?
Yes.
Hey, that's a bloody book, I'm telling you all.
Amen.
Hey, do you know, I got to look in one time, brother Prophet, and you know what? Over there, those oxen and cattle were that Solomon's sacrificed over there one day, of 1,000, I believe it was 1,000 bull oxen he sacrificed there one day. Do you know, have you ever figured up the amount of blood it was? Do you know, I read somewhere that it was almost like a 5 gallon bucket of blood that came out of each one of those He sacrificed there that day. And the way I counted up, that I come up with almost all together there, I come up with almost 50,000 gallons of blood.
Yeah.
About that.
Yeah. I redeemed the corrupt.
50,000 gallons of blood.
Precious blood.
Ain't that something? All that was just a covering.
Yes.
All that was just a covering.
Yeah.
You watch out. Here was a temporary fix for an eternal problem.
Right.
And you don't want to care. Hey, ain't you glad to know that a holy and just God would send a lamb without spot?
Yeah.
His lamb. He wasn't the man. It was his lamb.
That's right.
He said, my lamb. He said,
I'm going to sacrifice my lamb.
He said, look here. Not only he knew away with all that other, but he washed you. He said, look here. Ain't you glad to know tonight that if you come to him, that you can be washed?
Yes.
Clean.
Amen.
Amen. This is clean.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Born again.
Yes.
Start all. Okay. Yeah. Ain't that good?
Amen, brother George. Amen.
But then listen. We not only need to not let the gospel slip, but I begin to think of something else. Not only is that the good news don't stop there.
That's right.
You know, sometimes, brother prophet, we get bogged down in the world and we think, well, this is it. We act like we're all of us following the herd and waiting on the next ride or something other. You know what I'm telling you something? Hey, you know what I mean? Look here, sometimes we just look like we're just beat down. I mean, look, I'm telling you, boys, hey, we go to church mad and we leave mad and we get up on Monday morning mad and we go to bed mad and we frown so much. You know what I'm going to tell you for tonight? It's because it ain't no wonder you can't get nobody to the house of God because nobody looks like he got nothing when he got there.
Amen.
Hey, listen to me now. But it don't end there.
Amen.
We should never let it slip tonight. How good that it's going to be.
Yeah.
You know what he said over there? He said, in my Father's house.
Yeah.
He said, there are many mansions. He said, if I go, he said, I'll go away and I'll prepare you a place for you. Thank you, Dad. Look here, I don't care whether it's a mansion or a house further in heaven. I'd rather have a house further in heaven as a mansion in hell, wouldn't you? Thank you, Dad. That I got somewhere better to go
tonight. Amen.
We don't, we let it flip for heaven.
That's right.
We let it flip the thoughts of heaven. The Bible said over in the book of one place of word that we're not the sorrow of them that have no hope. But you know what I'm telling you? Tonight we have a real hope tonight, brother. Oh, something that's going to be a lot better than what we've ever seen here.
Amen to our soul. Amen.
Ain't you glad to know that tonight, that if you're saved tonight, if you've ever been born again in a blood wash and your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that you've got something better to go to?
Amen.
You know what? We got a promise of heaven.
That's right, man.
That's right.
We don't really, we don't talk, you know what, we don't, I ain't heard nobody preach about heaven in a long time. How good is it going to be?
Yeah.
You know what? I ain't got time because I'm going to try to get some more. Revelation 21 over there tells us, says there'll be no more sea, no more death, there'll be no more sorrow, and there'll be no more heartache, and there'll be no more pain, and no more death, and no more. Look here, if you take all no more to dirt, you know what? You can be happy now, and then you sit down and rejoice, and there'll be no more of that stuff.
Amen. Yes.
Right.
That's what God had in mind all along, brother.
But do you know something? That's not the best part about heaven.
Right.
Revelation chapter 4, over there in verse 2 tells us. He said, now I heard a voice behind me saying, come up hither. And he was there. You know what I mean? But look here.
Yeah.
But you know what he didn't see? I've heard a lot of preachers talk about the streets of gold and the gates of pearl and all them things. That might be all right. But you know what John seen? The first thing that he seen in there, he said there was a throne and him that sat upon it was what? There was nothing but the Lord Jesus sitting there on the
throne.
Hey, ain't you glad to know that the first thing I'm going to see when I get there, friend, will be the Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's right.
We don't think about that. You know something? I've had. Do you know something? I mean, listen. I get to think about this sometimes, and I get off by myself somewhere. You know what I mean? Look here. You can think about the Lord there, seeing the very Lamb of God. I'm reminded there of the man that went up on the Mount of Transfiguration there with the Lord. They seen him transfigured there.
Yeah, Peter, James, and John.
Can you imagine what they seen? Them boys was never the same. They got that off there. Them boys, look here, them boys had a little bit of wrinkle to them. You know what I mean? Look here, they never was the same. Can you imagine no being in the presence of that for eternity? There, look here, where he's at, there will be also. Can you imagine, brother prophet, never be separated from that again? You know what? Listen here, I've been in some good meetings in my life.
Yeah.
Where you get that good Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Stirring, moving. You ain't got a smell to it that ain't nothing else got.
That's right.
You know that? You want to talk? Anybody know you want to talk about?
Yeah.
Got that odor to it. You just want to get all of it you can. And you don't want to leave. You don't want to leave. You ever been there?
Yeah.
Can you imagine just being in the presence of that and knowing you don't ever have to go nowhere?
Yeah.
Know what I mean? You look here. Never going to leave. You know what I mean? You get in a good service like that and it's good and the Lord is moving and people are just sitting around and weep for joy and shed a few tears of happiness. But can you imagine Brother Prophet to be there and not have, knowing you don't have to go back out in that world and face another day out there in the world with all that sin and walk through that stuff and see all the things you have to see here in this place? But can you imagine that? We let that thing slip sometimes.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. We let that slip.
We do.
We let it go by. But then, I would say this. Not only that, but we let it slip. Not only the fact of heaven, but then we let it slip sometimes that he's coming again.
Yeah.
Amen.
We let it slip. I look here. We've heard it taught so much in our churches. We've heard it preached on so much. The coming of the Lord. When I was a little boy, the only two messages I ever heard preached in my life was don't go to hell and the Lord's coming. Don't go to hell and the Lord's coming. Don't go to hell when the Lord's coming. You know what? And they quit preaching that. And I don't know why we quit preaching that. But it's good. Look here, I'm telling you. That the Bible said over that when you begin to see all these things, he said, then you look up. He said, your redemption draws nigh.
Right.
I'm telling you what. Look here, this thing, as it was in the days of Lot, and it was in the days of Noah. And that don't bother me. Why? Because I know Brother Prophet's out soon to leave here tonight.
Yep.
And that encouraged me. Why we let it slip sometimes, I don't know.
Amen, preacher.
Amen.
You know something? If I didn't believe that the Lord Jesus Christ was coming back to rapture the church out of here, I'd quit tonight.
Bless him, Lord.
If I didn't believe that the sound of the trumpet and the voice of the archangel was going to call me up out of here, I'd quit tonight. Because there'd be no use of this right here. It'd be a waste of time. Look here, if the gospel ended there with the Lord Jesus there in that grave, and if it ended there, that would be awful. You know what I mean? But he don't. The fact of it is that he's coming back for us because he said, I'll come again and receive you unto myself.
Amen.
We let it slip, though, Brother Paul. We don't think about that. Look here. You know what? Sometimes I wonder. I get up sometimes real early in the morning. I'll tell you, I got to reading Thessalonians over chapter 4 one time, and it got to get good to me, and I got to thinking about that. I said, you know what? I said, I believe the Lord might come up here tonight. And so I got studying about that and meditating on that thing, and it got good to me, Brother Prophet. So I tell you what, then I got up. I said, I believe I'll get up for a little while. I said, I hate to be in the bed and him come. I said, so I believe I'll get up for a little while. I said, I'll sit right here. I said, I'll make me a cup of coffee and sit around there and wait on the little door. They got to think about it. I said, don't lie to me. I believe I'll put my shoes on and slip outside and sit in the yard a little while.
Amen.
Paul called us blessed hope.
That's right.
That's right. Looking for that blessed hope.
Yes. Woo!
You know what the disciples thought? They thought he was coming back the next day.
Yeah.
They thought they got plumb excited about it. They didn't know where this long they plumb quit doing anything. He told Paul had to write another letter and said, go on and work a little while. He said, he'd come in and work till he does come. Well, people, listen to me tonight. He's our hope tonight. We let it slip sometimes that we miss the world ain't my home tonight.
Yeah.
He's coming back for me tonight.
Yeah. Yes.
But then, because of all that, I tell you what, we've let slip more than anything. I tell you what, we've let slip as churches.
Mm-hmm.
And Georgias and churches. Mm-hmm. We've quit looking at our lost people.
Amen.
The same way that we ought to.
You're right, preacher.
Amen.
Listen to me. I believe without a shadow of a doubt that the Lord Jesus is coming. At any time.
Yeah.
There ain't a thing has to be done for him to come. I know everybody's smarter on prophecy than I am, more power to them than I can be. But God's time clock started ticking. Again, that prophecy clock started ticking in 1947, over there when the nation of Israel was put back in their homeland. He's over there in the book of Luke, over there, and I just quoted you part of that chapter. Or verse 12 there. But you know what? Look here. He's over there on that olive tree. You see that little olive tree over there in the book of Matthew over there. There's the nation of Israel. You know what?
Right.
When he puts forth his little leaves over there.
Yeah.
You know the summer is nigh. I'll tell you what. Summer's been nigh for a long time over there.
Yeah.
Whenever they became a nation over there, was put back in their homeland. Ain't that little olive tree he was talking about? You know what? I'm saying it's about to have fruit on it by now. Well, look here. Well, you know, didn't he say dung it for a few years to come back? What did he say? How long did he say? I bet you ain't that amazing that the Lord is just right on that stuff. Hey, one of the people, listen, he's coming back.
Amen.
But we don't get in our minds about what's going to be for our lost loved ones tonight.
Amen. That's right.
We don't think about that.
That's right, Brother George.
We've heard hell mentioned. Oh, there's a heaven. And there's a hell. If you don't get saved, you're going to go to hell. But you know what? Listen to me. What I'm getting to is this right here. We ain't got our picture of our loved ones dying and going to the devil's hell. It don't bother us no more near as bad as what it ought to.
Yeah.
He ought to terrify you tonight to look at the face of your lost loved one and think of that soul dying and going to the devil's hell. It ought to terrify you to the point, you know what? It ought to bother you that you can't go to sleep tonight to think of that lost soul in the devil's hell.
Yes, bless him, Lord.
Right.
Bless him.
Yeah.
Without natural affection. Without natural affection. People can look at a lost loved one today And you know why? They never mention the Lord Jesus to them. They never don't ever say don't go to hell. They don't ever say don't die that way. They don't ever say Jesus is coming.
Yeah.
They don't ever worry about it. You know why? They think they got tomorrow. You know why? I'll tell you why. Because they settled down here in the world and they're in love with this thing of the world. You know what? And they've let their lost world loved ones. And I'm not preaching to you. I'm telling me the same way. You know what? It don't bother me near as bad as it ought to tonight.
Bless him, Lord.
Don't bother me near as bad as it ought to. We let it slip.
That's right.
You know what we've done?
Keep thy heart from all devils.
Those old saints of God that wore out these bases and them old churches for us, three prophets.
Yeah.
They didn't care if you were sitting there listening. They didn't care if the Pope was there or whoever else, if you was lost. They'd call your name in prayer, and they'd get down to business with God. You know,
amen.
They would, you know, we're so proud anymore that we've lost our pride. We got our tears bottled up, and we let it slip. Half of our concern for a lost world tonight.
Amen. Amen.
Say, preacher, that's not me. That's not me. We've let it slip.
That's right.
Say, preacher, I don't believe that. I tell you what.
Well, we made it wax cold, bro.
Let me ask you this. How many of you here tonight would just be honest and say, I know I've got lost kids. I've got lost children. I've got a lost brother. I've got a lost mother. I've got a lost dad. Or I've got a lost sister. I've got a lost first cousin, or I've got a lost man that I work with on the job. Talk to him every day, and he's lost and going to hell. How many of you just be honest enough to say that?
Oh, yeah.
We've let it slip. We're letting it slip away from us, is what we're doing. What about this? Somebody wants to come get a song if you don't care. What about this tonight? If you're here tonight and you've got a lost brother, a child, a mother, a daddy, a cousin, a sister, how long has it been since you actually come to the altar and pray for that soul? How long has it been since you actually come to the altar and pray for that soul? God help. Father, Stephen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, over tonight, Lord, I sure do thank you for saving me. I thank you for the gospel.
Lord, thank you for the preaching.
Father, I thank you, dear Lord, for the opportunity and liberty to preach here. Father, I pray, God, that you would take us here tonight with the Holy Spirit of God and touch hearts. Maybe, Lord, someone lost needs to be saved. Father, maybe someone here with a lost child or a mother or a dad needs to come and pray, dear Lord. We pray, God, that you would just help us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Saved because of the Lord Jesus and what he did, we could be saved apart from him, but God uses people. And there's always always people connected with the gospel. God gave the gospel story, but he used people to preach it. And God so loved the world, he gave Christ to die for sinners, but he uses people to tell them about that love and tell them about that gospel. And I'm sure that back through your, if we follow the path back to your salvation, there'd be persons or people along that path that God used. Some of you here tonight, as the preacher said, you may be a young man or young woman tonight. You may be the only one saved in your family. God will use you, if you'll let him, to get the gospel to them and see them get saved. And once we get saved, we're not going to hell, but we do have a responsibility. Paul said we become a debtor to all men. And as preacher said, we all need more of a burden. We all need more of a vision of those that are perishing, going to hell. But if you're here tonight, and God has spoke to your heart tonight, and you just want to come and pray, as preacher said, maybe you say, brother, I prayed for him a lot of times, and I prayed for him for many years, and maybe you got discouraged, maybe you got tired, you kind of give up. But don't give up on them. You're their length. And you need to keep praying for those that are lost. You need to keep praying for them. Keep trying to pray to see. Keep trying to witness to them. Apostle Paul, he talked about that one had planted, another had watered. But God gave the increase. So maybe one more water, and God will give an increase. Who knows? I think one of the things missing, you know, Psalms 126, the day that go forth weeping, bearing the precious seed, the doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing their sheaves with them. Sometimes the seed get broken and weeping over a lost loved ones, and God burden their heart. And maybe that's the water, that weeping, maybe that's where the water comes in. I wonder tonight if you would like to slip out from your seat tonight, come pray for your mom, your dad, your grandma, grandpa, your sister, your daughter, your son, your granddaughter, your grandson. Maybe you'd just like to come pray for them tonight, okay? That'd be good. Just come and pray. Show God you're interested in them. And pray for them. That's right. Folks will come and pray. Let's do it. Amen. God help us. One place over in the Bible, you know, which said, God forbid I should cease to pray for you. You know, it's a sin to not pray for people who knows going to hell lost. God bless you, son. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Oh, yes, a lot of us have lost loved ones, as we know. Amen. All right, you come if you want to come. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not even saved yourself. And you just need to come tonight and pray to the Lord Jesus for your own self. Pray that God save you tonight. He loves sinners. He died for them. And he don't want you, he's not willing that you perish, but that you come to repentance. Will you come to it tonight? Will you come? Will God grant you repentance tonight? You'll come tonight. Amen. Godly sorrow worketh for repentance to be repented of no more. There is a worldly sorrow, but there's a godly sorrow that only the Holy Spirit can put in your heart. And it works that repentance to be repented of no more. Folks still coming to pray. Anyone else want to come before we pray? Anyone else?
Father, we do thank you, Lord, for preachers to come again. We've been around the altar tonight. And Lord, hours, because these hours are best, Lord, to be reliant. earnestly on. And God, I pray you'd help us do this right. Help each around the altar tonight, Lord. I feel like we're down to the altar. I pray you'd help us, God, to use that to remind us to see somebody here face to face with us. Somebody hear that voice.
Ziegler, when he was preaching, and old brother Walt was an old white-haired preacher from over in North Carolina. He lived way back out nowhere, and brother Walt, he lived by himself, and brother Walt lived by himself, and and I remember him telling me, he said, one night he woke up, and he said a lot of times he'd hear sounds in the night, and like I preached about this morning, and he said it'd scare him, you know, he'd wake up, but he said he woke up one night about 3 o'clock in the morning. And he laid there in the darkness and in the quiet time. He laid there for a little while and said he thought he could hear Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And he said he got so excited that he stood up in the bed. He began to jump up and down in the bed. And he thought he could hear Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And he said finally after a while it dawned on him that it was the chimes hanging outside of his window. The wind was blowing, and those chimes were ringing just enough to make a sound that sounded like Jesus is coming. Mm-hmm. Jesus is coming. Mm-hmm. And he said, I was so disappointed. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. But one of these days, Jesus is coming, thank God.
Amen. Yep.
And we need to be like that.
Yes.
We need to be listening, watching.
Right.
Amen. One day it'll be real, praise God. All right, thank you for coming tonight. Appreciate each one. We'll ask the preacher to go back to the door there. And Brother Watts is back there in the back. And he said he had enough time. If you need to talk to him or ask him anything, I'm sure he'd be glad to tell you if he knows what it is. And so he'll be back there. We do thank both of them for coming by our church. It's always a privilege for people to come by the church. And a lot of places, you know, and for God to lead them here and them want to come here, we don't take that lightly.
Amen.
And we appreciate it. One thing about this church, and it's been said by the folks that belong to this church, they say, what I like about this church, said you get to hear a lot of different preachers and a lot of different kinds of preaching and a lot of different kinds of styles and methods and age. And I like that, don't you?
Amen.
Amen. I just like to hear all of God's people. They're not all alike as far as our actions and everything else, but we're all alike in that we belong to Him. We've been saved by the blood of the Lamb. Amen.
Amen.
I like all preaching. I like loud screaming, yelling preaching. And I like just quiet talking, preaching.
Right.
As long as God's on it and it's out of this book, I like it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, you're free to go. God bless you. Turn around and shake somebody's hand. You're free to go.